Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Our focus will be more in Acts chapter 12, but by way of a little background, further instruction about angels, I want you to see something here in Acts chapter 10. This is the reading of God's word. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. As I said, we're going to be focusing in Acts chapter 12, but I want you to see there in Acts chapter 10 that an angel came and appeared in a vision to a guy who was not yet saved. None of the good stuff this guy had done could save him. And furthermore, when the angel came, the angel didn't come and share with him the good news about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. The angel told him what to do in order that he might hear the gospel. The angel, while a messenger of God, was not the chosen messenger that God had ordained in order to spread the gospel. God could have done this, in my opinion, much more efficiently if he had simply sent angels to be the preachers. Would bypass guys like me who have all kinds of flaws and just stick straight with angels. They'd be able to impress us with miracles and so forth. And to me, that would just be a much more efficient plan. God has chosen another plan, and that is that you and I, who are followers of Jesus Christ, would be his ambassadors here in the world. And the angels do whatever God tells them to do. Now, in Acts chapter 10, the angel was sent to Cornelius, and Cornelius was enabled to see what normally is unseen, and that is the presence of this angel. He clearly saw this angel, and the angel spoke to him. He knew what the angel was saying. The angel didn't speak in some strange language or give him a pair of glasses to wear so that he could read something on a tablet. The angel spoke to him in his own language and told him, "This is what you're to do. Send for Simon, who is at the home of another guy named Simon." And Cornelius was obedient to the call. Simon Peter was prepared by God to go and bring the message of the gospel to Cornelius and his household, and they were all saved. All right? But just notice, the angel had a role to play, but his role was not that, even though he was proclaiming what God said, God wants you to do this. His role was not to be the one who would preach the gospel. Got it? All right. Look in Acts chapter 12 now. Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now that's the Simon who went and brought the word to Cornelius. He proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door!" "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left them for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, this is true. This isn't a myth. It's not make-believe. It's not fantasy or science fiction. This is just truth. This is history. This is what happened. And it is God's word. It is given to us for our instruction and for our spiritual food. What are we to make of this? Well, first of all, if you live your life as if what you can see is all there is, you are living like a fool. Because there is so much that we do not usually see that is going on all around us all the time that you better be in touch with God and seeking to do his will and living in obedience to his word, or you're living like a fool. God has given us his word so that we will know that there's so much more. There is so much more. What if you didn't believe in air because you couldn't see it? Well, you'd be a fool, right? God has given us his word here, and we see in this passage that an angel shows up and springs Peter out of prison the night before the trial. Why do you have to wait until the night before the trial, during the night? I mean, couldn't we have had this about 7:30 or 5 the previous afternoon, or preferably days in advance? The church is meeting and praying fervently. And God doesn't send an angel to them to say, "Hey, don't worry about it, I'm going to get him out tonight." They're just praying. They don't know what's going to happen. You and I are often in a position where we don't know what God is going to do or when God's going to do it. But let me tell you, God always does as He pleases on His schedule. And we need to know that. So that when we're going through times and it's very dark and we feel overwhelmed by the power of the enemy, we remember God's on the throne. He's in control. It's okay. Even if I die, it's okay. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, an angel shows up the night before Herod was to bring him to trial. The angel shows up and Peter is sitting there going, oh, what's going to happen? I may die tomorrow. Is that what Peter was doing? No, Peter was asleep. The angel shows up. He hits Peter. That's what it says. It says he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Peter's one of the few guys that I can think of, maybe the only one I can think of at the moment, who was struck by an angel and lived, right? And you don't really want angels striking you, but Peter was struck by the angel and the angel says, quick, get up. And Peter doesn't even realize that it's happening. He thinks, wow, this is quite a vision. That felt like a real blow to the side. You know? But Peter gets up, and how's that possible? Well, the chains fell off. Clank, okay? The chains fell off. I just think that is as cool as can be. So, when this occurs, and he's outside, walking down the street, and the angel disappears. And Peter is like, what? And only then, it says he comes to himself, only then does he begin to realize, this is real. I'm really out of jail. I'm not just imagining what it would be like to be out of jail. I'm not just having a really cool dream. God has actually set me free. Now, again, we talked about timing. The angel showed up when God sent him to show up, which was at the last minute. But these soldiers, there are 2 soldiers in the cell with Peter and 2 others outside guarding the cell. 4 soldiers, they worked in shifts. So there are 4 soldiers at the time guarding Peter, and they apparently were asleep like Peter. Do you think it would have been better if the angel had killed them? I mean, it would have been impressive. I mean, I don't know if those guys were nice to Peter. I don't know if they listened when he tried to share the gospel with him. I don't know. What I do know is this. The angel didn't harm them. They got killed by Herod. They did die. But they were not harmed by the angel. The chains fell off. The chains didn't dissolve. The door swung open. The prison was not demolished. The angel only did what the Lord sent him to do. And it was given the power of God a very restrained display of power. Think about it. God could have told the angel to kill all four guards, but he didn't. God could have chosen to kill Herod, the wicked king who'd already been responsible for the murder of James, but he didn't. Herod would die soon enough. God would strike him dead soon enough, but not tonight. You and I have got to realize that angels always do God's will. And that isn't just so that we will stop trying to get angels to do our will and stop trying to get God to do our will, but it's so that we'll realize what we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do God's will, always. We should be eager to do His bidding. The angels do it. And someday, we're going to be ruling over the angels, according to Scripture. Now, if we're going to rule over the angels, don't you think we ought to be at least as proficient at obedience as the angels are? I mean, wouldn't that make sense? That instead of trying to get God to do our thing, we would be eager to do God's thing. We would be eager to please Him and serve Him and accomplish His purpose. When I look at this, I'm struck by the restraint of angelic power that was displayed in this rescue operation. The prison is still standing. The chains are still there. The door is still there. But Peter has been rescued. Now, when he goes to the home of the believers, Mary's house, the mother of John Mark, when he gets there, we have a humorous story about a young woman who undoubtedly would be teased about this the rest of her life. Okay? She went to the gate, and she realizes it's Peter, but instead of letting him in, she runs back, interrupts the prayer meeting, saying, "Peter's outside, Peter's outside." They tell her she's crazy. She insists. Meanwhile, Peter's out there. And they're arguing inside. And their conclusion, I want you to see this, their conclusion was, it must be his angel. Apparently, the view of these primitive minds was that there are angels assigned to individual people. Perhaps that's what Jesus was alluding to when he said about children, "See to it you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels behold my Father's face every day." It's not just something that primitive minds believe. It's something that has ample biblical support. And I would submit to you that God has assigned an angel to serve on your behalf, not as your servant, but as the servant of the Lord on your behalf. And you need to rejoice in the fact that in the most difficult and frightening of times, you are not alone. "Well, I wish I could see my angel." Well, every time people do see their angel, they're terrified. They're scared. But they are able to take on the appearance of human beings. And that's one of the reasons that we're told to be careful to exercise hospitality. Because many have ended up entertaining angels without being aware of it. "I thought it was just a stranger in distress. I thought it was just a neighbor. I thought I was just helping somebody out, and it turns out that they were there to help me out. I didn't realize that God had sent them into my life in order to make a difference." So, this reference to it being his angel, it must be his angel. That is a reminder to us that angels can look like people. But they can also be very impressive. They can be superhuman in appearance. And I'd like to remind you that one of those really impressive manifestations of angelic power is described for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Turn to it, please. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. You can start in verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Satan knows that it would not be to his advantage to show up looking like Satan. Okay? Because who would do what he says? Instead, he shows up masquerading as an angel of light, pretending to be a good guy. And you need to know that. Angels can take on human appearance, and they can appear to be a good human. And the enemy can appear to be a good human. But I've seen the enemy so many times leading people astray while looking like they're doing them a favor. And the ultimate picture of this is the warning that's given in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Look at that. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people who want to do the right thing. And some folks have come along and preached a lie to them, and they have been deceived. And Paul is writing to them in the book of Galatians, warning them against that lie, and listen to what he says in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Paul says, I don't care who it is that's telling you this lie. It's a lie. And he says, look, if I say something other than the gospel, don't listen to me. The Bible is God's word. I believe it. I proclaim it. I seek to obey it. But the Bible's the authority, not me. And what I want people to learn from my preaching is that, wow, what he said is exactly what that says. You get it? Because the result will be that people will realize they can depend on the scriptures. They don't have to say, oh, I wish Pastor Wood was here. Oh, what would Pastor Wood say? Well, hopefully Pastor Wood would say what the Bible says. So just read the Bible. Got it? You students who are growing up here, we want you to memorize the Word of God. We try and teach you that the Bible is true and trustworthy because we want you to know when you leave this place, God is still the same and His Word will never perish. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. God said so. I want you to understand something. I want you to know about angels. But I want you much, 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 much more than that to trust Jesus. Because angels just do what God wants them to do. And they don't come and preach the gospel to you. They simply help you to end up in a place where you can hear the gospel and where you are urged to trust in Jesus. Jesus will never fail to save those who trust in Him. I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, trust in Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.